Good morning. 00 hours. Cloudy. 65 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 63 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 63 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Mostly clear. 64 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 62 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 63 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 63 degrees. Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 64 degrees. Good morning. 08 hundred hours. Cloudy. 67 degrees. Thank you. Good morning. 0900 hours. Mostly cloudy. 68 degrees.
KB8OLE.
Good morning. 1000 hours. Mostly cloudy. 69 degrees.
WYRC Mobile.
Good morning, 1100 hours, cloudy, 73 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours, mostly cloudy, 72 degrees. Good afternoon, 1300 hours. Cloudy. 72 degrees. Good afternoon, 1400 hours. Cloudy. 69 degrees. Good afternoon, 1500 hours. Partly sunny. 74 degrees. Good afternoon, 1600 hours. Mostly sunny. 77 degrees. Updated weather. Special weather statement. Special weather statement. Good afternoon, 1700 hours. Sunny. 80 degrees. Special weather statement. Special weather statement. Good evening, 1800 hours. Mostly sunny. 78 degrees. The National Weather Service has cleared all products for our area. Good evening, 1900 hours. Mostly cloudy. 75 degrees. Good evening, 2000 hours. Partly sunny. 73 degrees.
This is WDAD Macomb County Skywarn. Stand by. WCAD Macomb County Skywarn, 7:59 p.m. National Weather Service in Detroit Pontiac. It is a severe thunderstorm warning for northern Macomb County in southeastern Michigan and St. Clair County in southeastern Michigan until 8:45 p.m. And 758 severe thunderstorms were located along the line, extending from 6 miles east of Yale to near Emmett to near Almont, moving east to 3 miles per hour. Storm can bring 60 mile per hour wind gusts and penny size hail. Severe thunderstorms will be near Armada, Memphis, and Emmett around 8:05, Lakeport around 8:10, Richmond around 8:15, Port Huron around 8:25, and Marysville around 8:30. Other locations impacted by these severe storms include the Dick, Rattle Run, Goodles, Smith Creek, Riley Center, Allenson, and Fort Gratiot. We will be opening the net in condition yellow, meaning we are not taking check-ins at stations that have weather events. Can contact net control. Excuse me, I'm trying to get this stuff up on my phone. This is WCAD Macomb County Skywarn. We will still take all weather event reports, including reports of torrential rain with near zero visibility, approaching thunderstorms, gusts on arrival, high winds. Please give us the speed and whether it's estimated or measured. Flooding over the curbs or roadways, hail giving us the size, damaging winds over 50 miles per hour, wall clouds, funnel clouds, and tornadoes. The net is in condition yellow. This is WCAD Macomb County Skywarn.
Yellow Delta 8, Chef, on Charlie 2, monitoring.
WCAD Macomb County Skywarn. We currently have a net in condition yellow, sir. We ask that you stand by at this time. WCAD Macomb County Skywarn. WCAD Macomb County Skywarn, severe thunderstorm warning continues for northern Macomb County until 8:45 p.m. The net is currently in condition yellow. I'm not accepting check-ins at this time. However, we will take reports of severe weather events. Including high winds, giving us estimated or measured speeds, flooding over the curves of roadways, hail giving us size, damaging winds over 50 miles per hour, wall clouds, funnel clouds, and tornadoes. This is WCAD Macomb County Skywarn. WCAD Macomb County Skywarn. The severe thunderstorm warning for northern Macomb County continues until 8:45 p.m. That is in condition yellow. We are not taking check-ins at this time, but we are taking reports of high winds, giving the speed as estimated or measured, flooding over curbs or roadway, hail giving the size, damaging winds over 50 miles per hour, wall clouds, funnel clouds, and tornadoes. This is WCAD Macomb County Skywarn, and that is in condition yellow. WCAU, Macomb County Sky Warn. A severe thunderstorm warning for Macomb County continues until 8:45 p.m. for northern Macomb County. At this time, the net is a condition yellow. We're not taking check-ins, but we are taking reports of high winds, giving the speed as estimated and measured, flooding over curves or roadways, hail, giving us signs, winds over 50 miles an hour, wall clouds, funnel clouds, or tornadoes. This is WCAE, Macomb County Skywarn. MyCon has not opened up yet, so at this time, we are going to go ahead and we will close the net at 8:45 this time, which is in about 4 minutes now. This is WCAE, Macomb County Skywarn.
Good evening, 21 hours, mostly cloudy, 72 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours, mostly clear. 69 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours, clear, 66 degrees.
VE3GSK, VE3GSK, this is AD8FK.
Okay, this is VE3GXK. Now, does that sound any better?
Whoa, like you're sitting in my room here. You want me to get you a cup of coffee?
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. I knew I was always able to hit, well, not always, but pretty close. Most of the time I can hit this repeater. Sometimes I can hit that 140 machine too. Like it, I have the water to my advantage too, because I live right by the water, so I do have somewhat of an advantage to getting to places that other people can't.
Yeah, boy, this is like night and day. I assume you can hear me a little bit better too.
Absolutely. No, you're just clean as you were before. I mean, there might have been a little bit of static behind you before, but no, this is, it's almost as if you're right here in the backyard.
Good to hear you. You say you don't get on the radio too much, or not too often?
Well, I do. I don't generally hang out on the Michigan side of repeaters, but, you know, it's always nice to do that, you know, kind of go searching around. And these are things that were programmed in my radio when after I had bought it, and when I bought the 400 radio, I mean, the 300 was going to be my purchase to begin with.
And a friend of mine said, no, get the 400 because it has a bigger screen and, you know, more features and whatnot. And I thought, well, yeah, okay. So I went with that, and it, so I even bought an SD card to back up all my information on the radio onto an SD card.
Tell me, you say the 300 and 400, what brand is it? Does it ring a bell?
Okay, it's the Yaesu FDM-400.
Well, I have ICOMs myself. I got a Yaesu over here as an HT radio. I'm not familiar with the 300 or 400. I take it's a mobile unit, so I'll have to look it up and see. But, yeah, it's doing a fantastic job. It's a 50-watt. This, I have the ICOM. It's an older 275. I blew the finals on it and I had new finals put in. And I backed it down to 15 watts now. That's all I need to probably get in these local repeaters. But it's sort of fun doing simplex sometimes because I can crank it up. It says 80, but if I get the voltage up, I can get it 100 watts. These things are rated at 100 watts at 15 volts. Back to you, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, see, very nice, yeah. Well, no, I've got, excuse me, I've got an ICOM 718 for my HF rig as well, so I'm running an antenna on that is the, I'm trying to think of the name of that. It's got, it's the trap vertical, I'm trying to come up with the name of that thing. Oh, that drives me mad. And I know what I'm thinking of. It's a very common name you have to keep remember. But anyway, no, I got that. A friend of mine sold it to me, and how I got this antenna was through another friend, another fellow ham in Sarnia. And, I mean, for $60, I couldn't lose.
Well, any capable radio for $60 is a good deal. Yeah, very good deal. You're right, you couldn't lose. Well, very good. So, you normally stay up about this time in the evening?
No, not usually, but sometimes I was doing something else. I can't think of what I was doing. I was looking at something. I look at Wi-Fi. I look at stuff on Wi-Fi on the on YouTube just for fun to see what's going on out there in the world. And it's kind of fun to watch people do some crazy things, come up with crazy ideas to make things work.
Yes, I do the same thing. YouTube and Facebook has videos that. The commercials get under my skin sometimes, but and they throw a lot of other garbage at you, but it is entertaining.
Yeah, it is. It can be at times. I mean, there are times when you just have to get away from it all and just stick your hand in front of a radio and sit down and talk to people, right?
You are right. Yeah, I think I mentioned to you that I went up to Port Huron today, anticipated the swap. I don't know if you go to those ham swaps, but the big one's tomorrow. They call the Mid-Michigan, or is it Eastern Michigan? Seaway swap, I guess. But it's at the Port Huron Farmers Market area, and it's a trunk swap, and guys meet there. So it's supposed to be the big one. It's pretty well, usually pretty well attended, and there's not a whole lot of overhead, so they can risk having a swap where we had to rent a hall here, and if we didn't cover our costs, we'd end up going behind rather than ahead. So, but I can't go up tomorrow. Tomorrow's our anniversary. Wife and I were celebrating our 57th year, and so I won't be going up there tomorrow. But she was willing to go with me today, and then we end up hitting a few garage sales, and I usually find something I can use for the radio, for AM radio, either antennas or something for the shack to make it more efficient, or paperwork, and even 3x5 cards. I picked up a good number of, a good supply of 3x5 cards, and rubber bands. I got rubber. I know I'm being ridiculous, being a little silly right now, but hey, you go to buy a bag of rubber bands, they want $8 for it at the office supply store, and I picked them up for 50 cents. So I'll take them. I can use the rubber bands. I use them quite a bit.
Over here, you'd probably find rubber bands at a not just a yard sale, but at a dollar store or something like that, because you know you could probably find them there.
yeah, but you know what? You go in those. It used to be 5 and 10 cent stores. Now they're $5 and $10 stores. It wouldn't be for 50 cents. It'd probably be more like, $5 or $10 for them, because so-called dollars, Dollar General or Family Dollar, well, they sure got a lot of different versions of these discount stores, and usually the stuff isn't worth what you have to pay for anyway, if especially for China, cheap junk, and we bought some tablecloths and just unfolding them, you know, they fall all apart. So you couldn't use them for one time for what you intended for. So yeah, I get really shy about, you know, parting with a buck anymore, because you don't get a chance to use them, to get any benefits for what you pay. So forgive me, but I'm cynical. Back to you.
Oh, no, you don't sound so bad. Don't worry. I mean, over here, it's about the same thing where, let's say, you go into a dollar store in Sarnia here at the Atlanta Mall, and there's, they're not really a dollar anymore. Nothing's here a dollar either. And we got stuff that's between $2 and $5. And yeah, between two and $4. So yeah, I'm thinking, well, now just a minute, what happened to, they call it Dollarama over here, and I'm thinking, well, it's not really Dollarama because it's not a dollar anymore. That's what I say.
I agree. Yep. You know, when I was in Vietnam, they used paper change. They had little bills denominated in change, you know, for 5, 10, 25, and 50 cent pieces. They're little dollar bills. It was a pain in the butt, you know, because we had the local currency, the Vietnamese currency, then we had the MPC currency, and they tried to get me to turn in my greenbacks, but I stuck those away. I wouldn't, no way where I was going to trade them in. If you get caught, you know, in a situation where you had to buy your way through, and that MPC, the military pay certificates, or the local currency was about as just like what you used to start a fire with. But at the time, the greenbacks, you know, could get you home if you had to. So that was my thought. And sooner or later, they're going to go to either paper currency or going to do away with the change altogether. VE3GXK, this is AD8FK.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's, you know, when that happens, that's going to be a problem, because, I mean, I think there's going to be problems when they take away all your paper bills, right? And that's, I mean, we've got, well, like, we still got coins. We got loonies, toonies, yeah, all the way down to dimes. Smallest is nickels, so we got nickels, dimes, quarters, loonies, and toonies, and that's what we got over here.
It sounds like you're mocking the currency they call them loonies and toonies. It's almost funny.
I don't know, it's whatever they can, you know, like I say, they came up with a name for replacing a dollar bill, and they took that, and I don't know why they took the $2 bill away and made it into a toonie and turned it into a round, slightly larger than a loonie, which is, I mean, you'd almost have to picture it. You could look it up online and you could find pictures of these things. And it's just, it's crazy. I mean, we got to carry around a whole whack of change, or you could save up all your change and roll it and put it in the bank. You know, and I've done that before where I had ended up rolling a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, I had a bunch of it too, Jeff. I used to, because I drove truck and I went across both in Windsor and into through Sarnia. Almost on a regular basis there for several years, and one time I just took all my Canadian stuff. I took it with me. I like to have it with me when I was going over to Canada. But I had a lot of miscellaneous old bills I had collected over years, and it was about $200-$300 worth, you know. And I was asking one of the shop owners when I stopped for lunch or dinner or something, and I says, "Say, are you interested in and some of his change?" He's, "No, I don't have time for that right now." But another guy spoke up and he said, "Yeah, I like collecting the Canadian money." He was a Canadian, so I laid it all out and he just gave me straight out, you know, face value for it. If he can make out and wants to save certain ones, more power to him. But I'm at least didn't have it cluttering up my closet anymore. Back to you.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just hard to hold on to things. You know, when you want to hold on to something because it's, you know, a piece of history or something. Because a lot of the things now are becoming a lost commodity or something like that. And then there are things you just want to hold on to because you've been there. And you've been to my hometown, because I'm originally from Windsor, Ontario. And I was born there, grew up there, went all the way through school there. And then once my sister and I finished school, then we sold our house in Windsor and moved back up here. Moved up here. And so the four of us, my mom and dad and my sister and I, moved up here. And I ended up getting an apartment in Sarnia for a while, and I ended up moving out to the Grove here. And I got my grandmother's old house.
Oh, well, that sounds nice. Got your grandmother's old house, and are you all living together? You have a little compound or something, or are you all living separately, or how does that work out?
Actually, no. It's now like it's a single person's home, if you want to put it that way. And when my grandmother and my grandpa lived here, the room that I'm sitting in right now used to be two bedrooms. And then after my grandmother died, my grandpa, he died in 1984. And after my grandmother died, I think, 94 or something like that. Anyway, I mean, she was up in her 90s anyway at that point, and then she just, you know, you only hang on for so long. Anyway, we were left with a house that was that my dad rented out, so we rented this place out that I'm living in now for a couple of years, and then the guy that was renting it ended up buying a house elsewhere, and then my mom and dad contacted me when I was living in Sarnia, and they said, well, the house is available for you if you would like to rent they rent to us instead of, paying more money for that, instead of, I thought, well, that's a good idea to get out of the apartment building situations. I mean, there was nothing wrong with the building I was living in. It was just the fact that it was, the rent was getting a little high, or somewhere over $600.
Very good, and live all your folks. Sounds like you might be out in the country. You got a nice antenna up for the 2 meters here. Do you put up HF antennas as well? You got some room for some HF antennas, Jeff?
Yeah, the HF antenna covers 80 through 10. The radio covers 160 through 10. But it works. I got a cable that I had to make some adjustments after I bought the new radio, the word radios, I guess. And after I purchased the radios, I had also ordered the power supply that I'm using now. It's newer than the old one was, and then the HF rig also came in, and that was a good chunk of change. But anyway, I had spent let's just say a lot of money, and so I was able to save up all that money myself. So I worked hard at it. I spent more time cutting grass and putting it all in the bank, and every dollar I put away, I just thought, no, I can't stop, so I ended up doing that and getting it all done, and the next thing I knew, I had enough money to actually pay my mother back, and she's the one that paid for the stuff, and I said, well, here's what I can do, I can transfer all the money that I have, so I knew exactly how much it was, and I said, here's how much to transfer.
Very good. Well, I'm sure everybody's happy, sounds like. So, sounds like you got a nice situation. Might bump into you on HF sometime. I get on in the morning occasionally. I was on every morning there for a while, but summertime I got things I'm doing in the morning, and so I don't get on like I used to, but in the evening we have a Michigan net, what they call the Wolverine single sideband net on 75 meters, and so I got a 75 meter loop. It's 256 foot long, and it's in a loop, and it's only up about 30 foot. In fact, I got it tied to the base of this antenna here, it may sag down about 20 foot in one corner, but anyway, it works fairly well, and it's able to tune up most bands that are higher frequency. And I was able to tune in 160 a little bit listening, but just very, very inefficient trying to get out on this 160, 160 meter band. But anyway. What kind of wire antenna? I assume they're wire antennas that you put up there. You got dipoles or loops or off-center fed or big long end fed? What do you got put up there, Jeff? VE3GSK. This is AD8FK.
Well, I got the line for this radio is actually connected directly to the bottom of the antenna, and then it's sealed up. Like it's a direct straight line down with zip ties holding the antenna wire from moving, and so like there's no loop or anything. It's just a direct feed line down, and then there's a couple of holes in the house where I had drilled for the RG8U to come in. So I have when I bought the cable, I had to buy 100 feet of cable so I could use 50 feet for the HF and 50 feet for this one. So, but no, I ended up burying the HF cable line as well, so that when it was connected to the ground level, then I could just bury it all the way along up until to a point where I needed to run it along the along the side of the house and then into the house underneath the house and then up through the floor. So I've got two cables coming up through the floor and then onto the radios.
Well, it sounds like a nice clean setup. Say, I'm leaning back. I'm backed away from the mic a little bit here. I hope it's not making it hard for you to listen, but sometimes I lean up against the mic like this here and overdrive it. But I'm sitting back sort of loafing a little bit, relaxing here, just talking with you. I got a desk mic I use that works out pretty nice. It sounds like you have a similar setup as far as the antenna goes, because I have my feed point right above my shack. I have the shack in a basement, and I can bring it right straight down through a ridge vent, a couple antennas. I have an NFED that's out there that's tunes up on 75 meters really pretty well. And it'll do 40 and 15, and then the loop is at the same point, only a different coax comes down. And then I have the 2 meter is on another chimney, and it's on a north chimney. And then on the south, I have another chimney that it supports my 20-40 fan dipole. So it looks like a little messy wire up on top of the roof up there. Wife moans about it, but she lives with it, which I'm grateful for. but that's the setup here. That's the extent of my antenna farm on a little postage stamp lot here. Jeff?
I think that's pretty cool to have them sitting on top of the roof like that. That's actually a really good idea. You know, and for me, I mean, I have a steel roof, so I couldn't attach anything to that. I mean, I could use like a base, like a mag mount antenna. It's stupid that you don't come across like really tall mag mount antennas that are, let's say 15, 20 feet tall. I wonder if they'll ever make those. I don't know. I'm not sure if they do. I don't know if they are ever made. You know, I'd have to look that up online and find out.
Well, I got good news for you, Jeff. Yes, I have one. Just last week, I got it from DX Engineering. It's a 25-foot telescoping antenna, and I have several mag mounts here. I had a tribe magnet. You probably seen them with the three big magnets, and it fell off my car and got ground down on the road, so I destroyed that one. But that was a good antenna until I fell off my car and got ground down. But yes, that would be the thing to do is to get they do make a 17 footer as well, or 17 and foot telescoping antenna, and with the 3/8 24 stud mount. Of course, they make a 10 meter stud mount as well. So if you favor the metric, you use a 10 meter. I think they usually go with what is it, the 5 thread? Oh, you probably know the metric system better than I do, but look it up and decide which system you want to go with, the metric or the English. And here I kind of go with the English because that's what we use here. So, and I'm in the process of making these vertical antennas for going out to the park, you know, activating the park. And I got these coils and the mounts I'm putting together, and I got some batteries and all this stuff. And so it's sort of fun putzing with it, putting together and these loading coils on the base of the telescoping vertical. You know, helps tune in the different bands. You can buy the coils, or I got these here are made. Wound them and. Yeah, we'll have to adjust. You can adjust those telescoping verticals by just how much you want to stretch it out, and you just measure it out and calculate it, and it usually brings it in pretty close to where you don't have to use a tuner even. So good news for you. If you this 25 foot antenna cost me $100. Like $106 or $108 with tax, and they didn't charge me shipping on it. But anyway, the guys at the parks every week, they go out. In fact, twice a week, they go out to the parks, and they all use the 17 foot. I don't think how many guys have the 25 foot, but it is really nice. I'm pretty excited about it and working on it here, and still enjoying the building of it is what I'm trying to say. Back to you, Jeff, from AD8FK. What is here?
VU3GXK back here, yeah. No, I think, you know, I don't know whether I could add another antenna because, like I say, it's getting it into the house is where I have to go from the roof all the way down, and I don't know whether I could do that. I mean, I want to do is I wanted to have a third antenna so I could use it on my old Kenwood rig that I have, and it's the Kenwood dual bander TM Victor 7.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that, the Kenwood rig. I take it as a 10 meter through 10 through 80 meter or 160 meter radio. How old is it?
Oh, no, it's a 2 meter, 70 centimeter radio. I bought it from a friend of mine over here in Sarnia, and he said that he would sell it to me at a reduced price because he wanted to, you know, he said he would do a trade. I had a single band Radio Shack radio that I picked up at Goodwill when I used to work there, and somebody walked in, it was a Sarnia Transit driver, and they carried in a box. I didn't know what was in this box. I just carried the box over to the girl at the desk, and I said, well, I don't know what's in the box, but the Sarnia Transit driver carried it in. Excuse me. Anyway, I took the box, and I took it to her, and she priced it at $35. And then later on, I had a break, from when I was at work, and I thought, well, I'm not going to check out that box, and pretty sure it was there, and I was lucky it was, and I said, well, I'll wait till the end of the day and see if it's still there, and lucky me, it was, and I bought it for $17.50.
Well, sounds like they give employees a nice discount on it.
Well, that was about 15 years ago, and, yeah, that's right, yeah, about 15, 16 years ago now, and that was my first radio, but I wasn't even on the air then. I didn't have my license. I got licensed in 2015. I think, coming up 10 years licensed now, so... Yeah, that's right, because it's 2025, and I was licensed in 2015.
Well, you've been licensed longer than me. I got my first one in 17. I got my first radio back in 1977. I bought the Heathkit 101 back then from a co-worker, and we went over to his house because he wanted to go from a tube radio into a solid-state radio. They were coming out with it. And so I went over to his house in Dearborn, Michigan, and we didn't take long. We made contact with a sailboat off the coast of San Diego, California, and talked to him almost like we're talking right here. And I think it was on 20 meters, if I remember correctly. It might have been 40, but... most likely 20. And so I was hooked, you know. I bought his radio, and I didn't get any real deal on it. It cost me $350 back then. That's back in 77. But I didn't have my license, and he offered to, at least he enticed me, says I could help you get your novice license, but you got to learn code, you know, and it's going to be a bit of work. So with the family and all things, I didn't get my license until 2017. So here we are. But yeah, you've got more time than me. So after 10 years, you have to renew your license there, Jeff. And back to you.
In Canada, no. Once we are licensed for life here in Canada. The rules are slightly different, and so when we transmit, so we ID to begin with, and then we get half an hour of talk time, and then we have to ID again, where you guys over in the States have to ID every 10 minutes.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's some real benefit for you there. It is more relaxed than here. Used to be, when I got my license, I didn't have to pay to get it. I had to pay for the test, but I had to pay for the license. Now they want $35 for the license and renewals, and you got to renew it every 10 years. And yeah, you're right. Got to identify, supposedly, every 10 minutes. I try to remember to keep it in there, and I guess you notice I try to ID occasionally, so I don't know if they ever nail anybody for not identifying. They are catching guys that are operating on frequency without the license for that frequency. Some technicians, they get on and transmit on HF or they get a general that's operating on the extra frequencies or something like that. And a lot of chicken, little picky stuff. But anyway, they like to make a little noise and make sure they're doing something, I suppose. But anyway, back to you.
Yeah, you know, like we do run into some of the oddball things like that over here too. Is like on our one of our repeaters, like I say, on Mike's repeater system there, VE3MMX, occasionally we hear some things we shouldn't, and we just ignore those people and pretend they don't exist.
That's a good way to handle it, if you can. Yep. I try to avoid getting entangled in stuff that. Sometimes you got to step up and speak up, or if things don't go away, but everybody's got to find a way of dealing with. Unfortunately, we don't have it very often here. It's not too often we talk to the people from Canada. Occasionally, I got a list of Canadian contacts. Most of them are Windsor over here on this side. You know, Detroit's the only place you can go south and go to Canada. So, a few of them are down south of Windsor, south of the bridge. So, yeah, I don't know if that Gordie Howe Bridge is up yet. I know you guys, Canadian, they finished it off. They were all done, you know, before we even started. When I was driving a truck, you know, I was watching it. The Canadians were really going to town, and they finished it all up, and they knew it was going to happen sooner or later, and finally got their act together here, and I don't know if they open it up if it's going to be really soon if it's not open now. I don't know if you've kept up with that, Jeff.
Well, I know somebody that might be able to tell me because he still lives in Windsor. Actually, well, he does. He's a friend of mine I went to high school with, so he might be able to still tell me that he's having lived down there myself. But no, I came here about it, hopping right along, and I wasn't sure whether it was completed or not. But next time I talk to him, I'm going to ask him about it, because I think that it might be done. We don't usually get down there too often. Like I say, that's our hometown, but after we moved up here, it was, you know, that bridge didn't exist until 2 years ago, something like that, when they started building it. I don't know, it took them a long time to get something started, right?
Like Canadians have, it was all finished at least two or maybe 3 or 4 years ago. When I was driving, they were just finishing up. And even open it up, I stopped driving at least 3 years ago now. And I went over there to those guys that make molds over there, mold builders, and I'd transport them around and take them back and all that stuff. And that's why I would go back and forth sometimes. More than once a day.
Well, like I say, Windsor was an interesting city to grow up in, but you know what? For all the years I lived there, I really didn't like it. Even when I was going to school, I didn't like it. I had to go to high school in the West End of Windsor, and that's where the other bridge that they have there, I can't come up with it. It escapes my brain. It's been so long. I mean, I know I'm only 48, but you would think that, you'd think I'd remember which bridge that was, because there was a tunnel which was only 5 minutes from where we used to live. In the East End of Windsor.
think you're referring to the Ambassador Bridge. Of course, up your way, you got the Blue Water Bridge, and down at Windsor, you got the Ambassador Bridge. And then the tunnel, there's a, I don't know if they have a name for the tunnel or not, but I've gone through the tunnel. They can take the lower trucks through the tunnel, but they can't take the higher trucks. If you get the lower flatbeds and you don't have a high tractor on it, you can get through the tunnel without any problem, but it's tight. It reminds me, I had to take the big truck with it to a cave one time. It was a 7-mile loop around through this cave. Every once in a while, there'd be a place you could turn into docks or back up into a dock. But it was for cold, dry storage in this mountain, a cave system inside this mountain. Down in Kentucky, I think it's in Kentucky someplace. But anyway, the tunnel sort of reminds me of that. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, well, we went through the tunnel every Friday and every Sunday. Like we would take the bridge here to get down to Windsor to get through. So we would take the stateside for years because we were coming up on weekends. So we had our cottage up here and. For years and years and years, it was back and forth. You know, Monday, sometimes Monday morning we would leave here, but not on a regular basis. We would generally do it late Sunday afternoon or Sunday night or something. You know, and that way at least we'd be home and we'd be able to get ourselves ready for school or because we were still going to school at that time back in the day, and it just seemed like it was. You didn't win any battles. I mean, sometimes there was one of the holidays over there that you guys have, and sometimes you end up with the back up all the way to the tunnel, all the way through the tunnel, all the way to 94.
Yeah, I've seen that the Ambassador Bridge back up way up in 94. I always got in some kind of line, but it seemed to move pretty good. I never got where it was long hours, or day in line there. Some of the lines, I forget what the reason was. If the workers at the customs people were on strike or something. I forget what the reason was, but anyway, whenever I went over, I had to wait. I had to give myself an hour to get through it, and sometimes it only take you 15 minutes, and sometimes it'd be closer to an hour. And usually it depends if they decide to charge me a tax on my truck coming back into the U.S., they'll tax the truck. Boy. Sure go through the money driving a truck. But anyway, it was fun while it lasted. VE3GXK, this is AD8FK.
Now, did they charge you by axle?
Yes, going into Canada, they charge you by axle. You're right.
Yeah, my cousin, he drives truck as well, and he lives in Windsor, but I think I don't believe he goes into the States. I think he's just going to, he goes as far as up to Toronto and maybe Montreal or somewhere like that, and then back. Like he'll do several hours or a couple of, like he'll do a day or 2 days or something like that, and then he'll get back home. So he had a excuse me, he got into driving truck. I don't know when, but like I say, I hadn't seen him in 20 years. And then I had made plans with him. I had contacted him, and he came up with his Jeep. And I don't think my mother was too impressed with that. She came over the next day after he had left, and she said, "You shouldn't have done that." And I said, "Why? He's my cousin. What's that make you? Like, what are you trying to, badmouth him or something? Because you don't, you know, just because she says to me, she says, well, you don't know him like he was back in the day when he was a kid." And I said, "Look, you can't judge somebody just because you had a bad experience with, you know, a situation that happened in the past." And I said, "I refuse to look back on the past and say, oh, this happened. Well, that's too bad. It happened. Oh, well." And I can't just judge the family just because they're, you know, just because something happened between my mother and somebody else. You know, and that's just how it happened. You know, I mean, things happen, and you just have to shake it off and say, oh, well, this is too bad, right?
I hear you. You don't want to fight other people's battles or pick up somebody else's offense and be mad at them because somebody else is mad at them, so you are wise. You are wise. Be alert, but don't get sucked into those kind of things. All right. Well, you know, I've seen the clock as my chariot or my radio is going to turn into a pumpkin here in a couple minutes. So I think we've had a good hour in it, and I appreciate talking with you there, Jeff. And I wrote you down here for this frequency because we made a lot better contact on here. So when it stops on the scanner, I do have my, I have two radios. I have my other radios, a tri-band Anytone that I use for scanning and for the UHF and a 220 band. But my QSOs, my conversational times is on my, for 2 meters, I use the 275. It just works out so nice and puts out a nice signal, and I can use the microphone, the desk mic with it, and works out pretty nice. So anyway, I'm going to have to let you go and call it a night, and we'll do it again. So I'll say 733, Jeff, let you wrap it up. VE3GXK. Back to you, Jeff, for the final, AD8FK.
Okay, there's one other thing you want to write down. Maybe I can give you that frequency and PL tone of that of the repeater that's over here if you want it.
Go ahead.